听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 12, Review. Activity 1. Where is it? Listen to some short dialogues or sentences. Choose the best answer to indicate the situation each item is describing.
1.
What number is it?
217. It's a company called Albus Mining.
2.
Can I get to the Colvin Centre this way?
Yes, but it's quicker to cut through the shopping mall.
3.
You can't turn left. It's a one-way street.
We should have come by taxi.
4.
I'm looking for something for my daughter.
How old is she?
5.
I'd like to change $500. What are your rates?
6.
How far is it to Forley?
About 80 kilometres, but the eastbound carriageway is closed after Junction 8, so there might be delays.
7.
We're still trying to trace your luggage. It seems it was loaded on the wrong aircraft.
8.
You can park in the basement. The entrance is just behind the hotel.
9.
Can I have an early call in the morning?
Certainly. What time? 10.
The rental includes unlimited mileage and comprehensive insurance cover.
11.
Is this the right platform for Oxford Street?
No, you need the central line.
12.
You can get a bus to the centre from just outside the building. And take the subway to Gare du Nord. The entrance is next to where the buses stop.
13.
There's one at 8:22 that gets there at 12:47.
What time's the one after that?
14. Can you tell me when we get to the Canadian Embassy?
Yeah, it's about 3 stops.
2. Bed and breakfast. Listen to a passage about B and B's. Fill in the words in the blanks with what you hear on the tape.
Vicki Hunsberger works for the Indiana Bed and Breakfast Association. She advises that if you're planning a trip and want to stay in a B&B, you should do some research and make a reservation. The internet is a popular place to find information on bed and breakfast. There are also a lot of guidebooks that can be helpful, said Hunsberger. Before you make a reservation, it's important to ask the owner some questions. Hunsberger says to ask about the number and location of bathrooms, whether they allow smoking, children, or pets, the kind of breakfast they serve, and of course, the cost. She said that it's important to remember that you aren't staying in a hotel chain where everything is the same.
Activity 3, SWOT analysis. You are going to hear a presentation by a director of NetCount Software Limited talking about the competitive position of the company. Write out the outline of the presentation.
What I'd like to do is to outline a SWOT analysis of the company, which we've recently carried out. As I'm sure you all know, SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So let's start with the strengths. It's apparent that our main competitive advantage is our range of products. Mm-hmm. Our account software packages are perceived as the most user-friendly on the market, relatively easy to install, requiring much less training than our competitors' packages, and representing better value for money. So, All in all, we've got an excellent product. Our other main strength is our people, especially on the after-sales side. Our after-sales team is perceived as faster, more qualified, friendlier, and generally more efficient than our competitors. And this applies both to the help desk and the field maintenance people. Right. Let's turn to the weaknesses. Although we have such a strong product, we haven't achieved the sort of market penetration we should have. Basically, this is because our marketing is not so effective as our competitors. One especially, Sterling, has a much stronger presence in the market, both in terms of sales and profile. And we've relied too heavily on product quality, not enough on promotion. We've got to put considerably more effort into our advertising and direct mail campaigns. So, that brings me to the opportunities. We're clearly not taking the opportunity we have to dominate the small business user market. We could be achieving significantly higher sales. I estimate 50 to 60% more. We could also be building a much more extensive customer base. This would ensure a more secure future as well. Our main threat, of course, is Sterling. They've got a much more impressive dealer network, and their promotion is a lot more sophisticated than ours. On the other hand, we've got the better range of products. We should be capitalizing on this.
Activity 4. Beanie Baby. Listen to a passage about a popular toy named Beanie Baby. Supply the missing numbers or the relevant information.
Last year, Beanie Babies were some of the most popular toys among children in the United States. The company that produces Beanie Babies earned more than $200 million selling them last year. This year, that number has increased to more than $2,000 million. Why? Because adults are interested now.
A Beanie Baby is a small, soft doll shaped like an animal. A cat, for example, or a dog, or a bear. Each Beanie Baby is about 15 to 20 centimeters long. They cost about $6 each in most stores. Last year, parents were buying the little dolls for their children. Now, it is the adults who want Beanie Babies. Experts say the toys have become much more popular because of the computer. Adults all over the country use the internet to buy and sell them. They do this through groups of Beanie Baby owners who join clubs that operate on the internet. A person makes an agreement through the internet to buy a Beanie Baby, then sends a check to the seller to pay for it. The seller then mails the Beanie Baby to its new owner. Each Beanie Baby has a sign on it, giving its name and the name of the toy company. The toy company produces only a limited number of copies of each doll, then stops. So collectors have to buy them through the internet and from local Beanie Baby clubs. The most costly of these rare Beanie Babies so far is Peanut, the dark elephant. One of these sold for $2,000 earlier this year. One woman is an expert on Beanie Babies. She has 500. They cost her $25,000. And she is not done yet. She still uses the internet about 3 hours each day looking for more Beanie Babies. She says she just cannot stop collecting them.
Activity 5. Food plans. Listen to a dialogue. Pay special attention to the different food plans mentioned. Supply the missing information.
So we have trainees from abroad with us for several weeks at a time, and we are considering putting them with local hotels as long-stay guests.
But in that case, we would charge you on a weekly basis.
Ah.
But of course, we might be able to offer you a discount. Our most basic plan is for the room only, with no meals at all included, what we call European plan. Our normal weekly rate for room only is £150.
£150. I see. But I think we would prefer to have the accommodation on the basis of meals provided. Perhaps even all meals, during Christmas holidays and so on.
Ah, right. Well, we can offer a choice of plans for this. Obviously, there's the ordinary bed and breakfast system,
mm-hmm.
what we call continental plan. And for that, we normally charge £165 a week.
Just a moment. £165 bed and breakfast.
Mm.
Now, what about people who want to stay, en pension, with all meals included?
Well, we call that our American plan.
I see.
Our normal rate is very reasonable, really. £220 a week.
£220. I see. And that just leaves the trainees, who have lunch in our canteen but get all their other meals in the hotel.
Mm.
Do you have a plan to cover this demi-pension, including an evening meal?
Oh, yes, we can certainly offer that.
Oh, good.
It's what we call our modified American plan. It includes room, breakfast and dinner, and the normal rate is £195 a week.
Fine. Now, let me tell you more about our numbers, and you can tell me what kind of discounts you can offer.
Activity 6. Malaysian economy. Listen to a report about the Malaysian economy. Answer the questions with key words.
Leading exporter of tropical timber. It is also the world's largest producer of natural rubber and palm oil. There was a time when all of this would have made Malaysia prosperous. But since the Second World War, commodity prices have fallen steadily in relation to manufactured goods. Malaysia has responded by diversifying its economy. Today, agriculture and mining, including oil production, are increasingly less important than the country's fast-growing manufacturing and service sectors. The Malaysian economy's growth is now driven by export industries, many built with foreign investment. The responsibility for marshaling and directing foreign investment falls to the Malaysian Industrial Development Authority, known as MIDA. Gay Sim Hong is deputy director.
Given that we are a developing country and that we do not have the technology, the marketing expertise, the export markets, we certainly want foreign investment. But it is the policy of the government, as far as possible, to go into joint venture with foreigners. So while we are promoting foreign investments, in effect, we are also promoting domestic investments.
Though small, Malaysia attracts more foreign investment than all but a handful of other developing nations. One major reason, foreigners receive a package of lucrative incentives and tax benefits to set up shop, and they are allowed to retain control of their investments. Malaysia also appeals to these corporations because it has developed a modern system of ports, roads, and telecommunications. Equally important, the nation offers an educated, hard-working labor force. Over the years, Malaysia has sent hundreds of thousands of its people abroad for university training, mostly to the U.S. and Britain. Recently, to make it cheaper to train Malaysians, the government has adopted a policy of encouraging foreign universities to set up campuses in Malaysia. Malaysia has also learned that economic growth depends on finding the right combination of foreign and domestic investment, so that one encourages the other.
Activity 7. Buying goods for sale. You are going to hear the manager of a sportswear shop giving two new assistants detailed instructions about the procedures involved when buying stock. Complete the flowchart to show the procedures.
So, what do we mean by a supplier? Debbie.
A supplier is a company that sells goods to a shop like us.
Right. So, if we need goods, we go to a supplier. And notice that I said a supplier. For all the goods we stock here, there are various suppliers we use. And we try to stay in contact with all of them so that we can get the best offers.
Right.
So how do we compare the offers?
By making an inquiry.
And how?
By phone.
Right. This book here, the Sports Equipment Trade Journal, gives details of all the trade suppliers.
Oh.
That means companies that sell to the trade, to shops like us. So when we need stock, we check for suppliers here and then phone round for quotes.
Oh.
When asking for a quote, we need to state the item we want and the quantity we need. And we write the quotes here on the quote record form, showing the supplier's name,
right,
the item, the quantity, and the price. And before we put the phone down,
we ask the supplier to send us a copy.
Or better,
to fax us a quote.
Right. And why?
So that we have something in writing.
Ah. So, what details would you expect the supplier to fax?
Price?
Mm-hmm.
Special discount?
Mm-hmm.
Delivery cost?
And?
And delivery time.
Right. Good. So, now we've got the best quote. What's next?
Well, we place an order.
And how do we place the order?
Using our order form.
Mm-hmm.
And we send it or fax it to the supplier.
Exactly. So, this is the order form here.
Right.
Now, as you can see, it shows our name here,
mm-hmm,
the supplier's name here, and our order number. Now, below that, we write the details of the order. Item name, item reference number, number of units, and the unit price. At the bottom, we write the agreed delivery date from the supplier's fax,
oh,
and the delivery address, which is our address here.
Right.
What else does the order need?
Signature.
Right. In fact, I'm the only person who can sign for orders,
oh,
so all order forms will need to come to me, right?
Right, fine.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, the goods arrive as agreed, together with another document. Do you know what it's called?
A delivery note.
Yes, that's right. The delivery note is proof that we've taken delivery of the goods. So, we have to sign the delivery note and hand it back to the driver.
Right.
So, now we've got the goods. Obviously, we check that the items delivered are what we ordered, and we also make sure that they've been delivered in good condition.
Activity 8. Financial reports. A. You are going to hear three financial reports. Listen carefully and complete the statements. Pay special attention to the numbers.
Report 1. In New York, the dollar was mixed against most major currencies. The dollar closed up against the German mark, finishing at 1 mark 53 pfennigs, and down against the yen, closing at 124.45 yen. New York gold was down $3.20 at $350.90 an ounce. Report 2. The dollar was higher in Friday's trading against most major currencies. In New York, the dollar closed at 1 German mark, 54 pfennigs, up from 1 mark 53. It was up to 124.6 Japanese yen from 124.5, and it was up $1.86 to the British pound. That was up from Thursday's $1.87. Dow Jones Industrial Average passed the 3,200 level for the first time. Report 3. The dollar is continuing to weaken against most currencies. The dollar's currently trading at 124.18 Japanese yen and at 1 Deutschmark and 54 pfennigs. The pound is stronger at $1.85.7. After a week's holiday in Tokyo, share prices rose sharply as dealers reacted to the discount rate cut made just before the New Year break. The market strength was also attributed to Wall Street's record highs seen last week. The Nikkei closed up 817.41 at 23,801.18, with trading limited to the morning session only.
B. Now, try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the reports.
Report 1.
In New York, the dollar was mixed against most major currencies. The dollar closed up against the German mark, finishing at 1 mark, 53 pfennigs, and down against the yen, closing at 124.45 yen. New York gold was down $3.20 at $350.90 an ounce.
Report 2.
The dollar was higher in Friday's trading against most major currencies. In New York, the dollar closed at 1 German mark, 54 pfennigs, up from 1 mark, 53. It was up to 124.6 Japanese yen from 124.5, and it was up $1.86 to the British pound. That was up from Thursday's $1.87. Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed the 3,200 level for the first time.
Report 3.
The dollar is continuing to weaken against most currencies. The dollar is currently trading at 124.18 Japanese yen and at 1 Deutschmark and 54 pfennigs. The pound is stronger at $1.85.7. After a week's holiday in Tokyo, share prices rose sharply as dealers reacted to the discount rate cut made just before the New Year break. The market strength was also attributed to Wall Street's record highs seen last week. The Nikkei closed up 817.41 at 23,801.18, with trading limited to the morning session only.